Well, it's time for us to begin. We may have more come in, or they may have walked outside, looked up in the air and gone, it's raining, and not come. So we'll hope and pray that everybody stays safe in the rain. Grateful that all of you have decided to come today. I hope and pray that you're finding what we're discussing in this class series to be helpful, useful for you. Before we get started, I'd like for you to pray with me. Our Lord and our God, we bow to you because, Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our tendencies. You know how we have, how we practice in our life. You know our triggers. You know things that cause us to go in or to go out with our heart and our emotions. And Lord, I'm sure that none of us are perfect at it, but I pray that these conversations that we're having on Sunday mornings will be conversations that will be a blessing to us all, where we can do some self-evaluation, that we can evaluate our walk with you, and that we can see your hand in leading and guiding us through these things. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so. Help us to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. On the sheet that's passed out today, and they're on the table back here where the Wilsons and Justin are, on the sheet that you have today, I think it's one of the first pages, maybe the back of the first page, if not the first page, you have a series of scripture written down for you. Patience and habits. Let's talk about two or three of these right now, and then we're going to get into the class notes. Hatred stirs up conflict, but love covers all wrong, Proverbs 10:12. And a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a quarrel. Proverbs 15, verse 18. Okay. I know that I'm asking you to agree or disagree with the Bible, but do you agree or disagree with those statements? Have they been in your practice? Have they been true? Yes. We're going to talk today about our habits. We're going to talk today about how the habits that we have. I've heard it explained like this to me. And you may not agree with this analogy, but I liked it for my own application. The one counselor I was talking to one time called it our ritual. And what he meant by that is this: when something enters into our life that causes our energy toward anger to rise, our mind usually defaults to a certain approach. In other words, there are certain triggers that are triggered in our life that give us permission in our head to have a certain response. What are our responses to anger? What are our responses to those things that make us angry? What are our expressions of anger? You tell me. How is our anger expressed? All right. We lash out. We yell. So for some people, it becomes violent, right? How else do we respond in anger? Withdrawal. Oh, we go inside of ourselves, don't we? We pull inside. We put a wall up. We don't really let people see that we're angry, right? Is there another one? I'm sorry?
To lash out at someone.
We can lash out. There's that outside, and we've got the inside where we wall up. Is there a third one? What is it?
Tell the devil to go away.
Yeah. And by the way, we're crossing over into the idea of our habits. For some of us, I'm not meddling here. I'm just telling you, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've talked to the guy in the mirror about this. There's a lot of times when God becomes our last resort because we want to deal with it. We want to fix it, right? I can handle this. I don't need to bother God with this. I can handle this. And when things get so frustrating, we get to the end of our rope, we're hanging on, we finally go, God, help me. Anybody else but me have that experience? So, if that's our experience, then maybe our habits are causing us to not do the things which would head off our angry either outburst or walling up or anything else. Maybe our frustrations are because we're not taking the right approach to it. So, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. What's the context of that verse? 1 Corinthians 13. What's the context of that verse? Well, but that verse is written in the great chapter that's talking about. It's the love chapter, right? It's talking about love. It's, you know, if I were to speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. And so on and so on. I'm going to tell you, we read that chapter at a lot of weddings, but in reality, it's written to an angry church. It's written to a church where the people are at each other's throats because there are people who say, my gifts are better than your gifts, and I need to be in front, and you need to be in the back. And Paul is saying, look, there's three things you need to have. There's faith, and there's hope, and there's love, but the greatest thing that you need to have is love, and you need to stop acting so childish. We'll talk about that more in just a minute. All right. Go to your handout now. The power of habits. Again, this is written by my friend Mike Speakman, who is the counselor that is trying to help people deal with their anger. And he said, and he wrote this from an author that was unknown. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I'm at your command. Half of the tasks that you do might just as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I'm easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done. After a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I'm the servant of all great people and the regret of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, but I work with all its precision, plus the intelligence of a person. Now you may run me for profit or you may run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will lay the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. I am called habit. What's your reaction to that? I know it's a first reaction, a lot to take in. But what's your first reaction to that? It's absolutely true. How can our habits be our master? Say again.
If they're a bad habit,
if it's a bad habit, by replacing them with something good. I work with families sometimes that have loved ones who are dealing with drug addiction. And I know Kim works with people who are dealing in this arena as well. And this is what I mean by ritual. If you get into a certain mindset where you have a certain level of stress, if your ritual is, I need something to dull this, or I need something to give me an up, and your go-to thing is, I need to take a drug, I need to drink alcohol, or some other stimulant or depressant, then if you're in the habit of doing that, it feels like after a while, there's no escaping it. People come to a point with their habits where they feel like they're ruled by them. Is that a fair statement, Kim? Okay. Paul says, and this is a verse that we read about in the scripture. Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything. It's a very potent statement, and one that I think that we need to take into account when we talk about our habits. On the next sheet, you'll see an anger habits questionnaire. I want you to do this for yourself. This won't take but just a moment. Use the rating scale for the following three groups. One, it's not true at all. Partly true is two. Half true is three. Mostly true is four. Describes me completely is five. And you've got an S group, an A group, and a PA group. I want you to go through each of those responses, and I want you to put a number by it as to how it applies to you. Everybody understand? 3 minutes, go.